He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is June the 24th. The June the 24th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We've got a good day so far in the market. I'm seeing a trend here. Tech, very strong. Medical sector, very strong. And I would say the automobile sector, with some heating up in those EV stocks taking place right now. We'll discuss that here later in the show. But right now the Dow's up 283, 34,157. The S&P is up 26, new all-time high, 4,267. NASDAQ, new all-time high, up 115, 14,386. The momentum stocks are back in fashion. Why? Because interest rates are remaining low for right now, right around 1.48 on the 10-year. The small cap's up a half a percent this morning. Crude oil down a little bit, down 17 cents, but it's been on a pretty good run here recently. Crude is at $72.91. Gold down 80 cents to $17.82. Silver up 3 cents. To $26.14. There's that 10-year, 1.48, okay? And that's definitely has been the catalyst, I would say, underneath this recent rally and new highs for the NASDAQ. Bitcoin selling off a little bit today. It had a good rally yesterday, but it's lost half its value, let's not forget, over the last few months. Bitcoin's down $204 to $33,900 at the moment. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years in the industry as a professional money manager, former analyst. I spoke last night, did a workshop here in Sarasota, had a good time. And maybe we'll review some of those issues that I talked about last night. A lot about the methodology. You know, my methodology is a little bit unique from others' methodology. I started out in the business as a pure can slim, Investor's Business Daily, William J. O'Neill, How to Make Money in Stocks type of investor. Of course, a can slim is an acronym for current earnings, annual earnings, new high or new product, shares outstanding, leader or laggard, institutional sponsorship, and market. That's what the M is. Well, CanSlim worked really good in the late 90s. It worked fantastic, and it worked great last year, too. In fact, it's worked great the last couple of years, but when push comes to shove, I think 2000 really brought out the big hole in the CanSlim strategy. In my opinion, CanSlim's missing a V. All right, I don't know how you're going to fit that V in there. Keep that acronym. I guess you'd have to say V CanSlim or CanSlimV, something like that. The V is valuation. That's what happened in 2000, all those dot-coms. Momentum darlings, relative strength darlings, and of course we had a mini crash in that area of the market back in February of this year. Valuation, not a consideration in CanSlim. It's definitely more tilted, well, it's completely tilted towards growth and towards relative strength and momentum. Now, on the other side of the equation, after the big sell-off in 2000 in the NASDAQ lost 80%, all right? That's a correction. That's more than a correction. That's one of the worst bear markets of all time, and it happened right in the tech sector. which generally garnishes most of the headlines on a daily basis, definitely more than the fertilizer sector, you know, or the agriculture, tractor sector or whatever, agricultural machinery, you know, that's an exciting sector. No, the tech sector gets the headlines. It's the sexiest sector out there. Maybe today it's the electric vehicle sector or others, autonomous driving, things like that. But the tech sector still gets the vast majority of the headlines. And that tech sector got so overpriced back in 2000. How overpriced? 80% came out of the NASDAQ. And many people's portfolios lost 80 to 90% of their value during that dot-com bubble bursting. And then a lot of attention started to move over to value investing and valuations, the Graham Dodd methodology, the Warren Buffett methodology, and started focusing on things like price to sales and price to earnings and intrinsic value, etc. And I found that the value investing, that discipline, in my mind, it lacks something. While CanSlim lacks valuation, valuation lacks CanSlim, okay? You know, a lot of the value, the deep value stocks don't have explosive current earnings. They wouldn't be deep value if they did. They don't have strong annual growth, or they wouldn't be trading at such suppressed levels. Sometimes a new product or a new CEO or something new will come along to kick a value stock into gear. And value stocks usually are not leaders in their industry. They're usually laggards in their industry. That's why they call it, you are a contrarian investor. You're investing your money in stocks that are out of fashion, out of style. And, of course, what do they lack? For the most part, they lack any momentum or any kind of performance. And you get a lot of value traps out there, we call them, that can sit in a number one sideways trend. That was the third thing I talked about last night at the workshop, was technical analysis. I believe that plays a role, too, in the stock selection process. Now, there's investors out there that strictly use momentum. Okay, they could care less about valuation. I think the Reddit crowd is a perfect example of that. You do a valuation someday on GameStop or on AMC Entertainment, and you'll see what I mean by that. And over on the other side of the coin, the value investors, they don't even look at a chart. They don't look at relative strength. They don't look at performance of the stock versus its peers. They're buying those things that are out of favor. So in my methodology over the years, I've studied, I've practiced, I've learned both disciplines. And I found, you know, probably 15 years ago, 6 years into my career in the industry, that the answer is somewhere in the middle. And that was the genesis of the beststocksnowapp.com, which I created for my own usage. I said, what if you combined value investing with momentum investing? I suppose you could call that growth at a reasonable price, maybe, but I think it goes a lot further than that. I have to find both growth at a reasonable price really doesn't look at momentum. It looks at growth. Momentum is how the stock is performing versus the rest of the market. We call that relative strength. In Investor's Business Daily, they have a ranking, a relative strength ranking of 1 to 99. With 99 being the strongest. I have a relative or a momentum grade in my app that goes from F to A+. A+ are the strongest performing stocks, mutual funds, ETFs in the market today on a relative strength basis. I look at my A+ relative strength list every day. There's about 200 stocks in it right now. That's part of my chart list that I look at. And then, of course, when I find a stock that meets my valuation criteria, meets my performance slash relative strength slash momentum criteria, Ann has a good chart pattern, which when we come back, I want to talk just a little bit about that 1, 2, 3, 4 chart pattern and where's the best place to buy a stock in that sequence. And number two, what's the biggest warning sign in a chart that you're watching? Where should a yellow flag go up and where should a red flag go up and where should the sell button be pushed? We'll talk about that. We'll fine-tune that a little bit when we come back. But I've also got a lot to talk about in the solar sector, in the electric vehicle sector today. A little bit of political stuff going on today that we'll discuss with Janet Yellen. And a change in Fannie Mae. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson. Yesterday was all about three sectors in the market. I was showing some of the people I met with yesterday and people at the workshop last night. I keep a little journal every day just on, just on a legal pad, and I flip the page every day to a new day, and I kind of just keep columns that are different sectors of the market. And any charts that pop off of the page to me as I'm going through my, probably anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 charts as I go through my daily routine. I like to put down those tickers into sectors. And then I get a good flavor, kind of a heat map, I suppose. I mean, other people have different ways of doing it in a heat map. And yesterday it was all about three sectors. It was the technology sector, which is being helped by a drop in interest rates, just like it was hurt in February big time. I mean, some of those momentum stocks were down 35%, just like it was hurt big time. In February by rising interest rates, is being helped right now by dropping interest rates. The commodity sector has also had a good week so far after its two-day sell-off last week. So I suppose the inflation trade seems to still be intact for now. Those seem to be a couple of trends right now to follow. You've got dropping interest rates, and you've got pretty hot inflation, in my opinion. And a lot of people would agree with that. Okay, durable goods orders rise solidly in May after April's dip. That's an inflationary factor when there's a lot of demand for durable goods. And, of course, the input, the cost of putting together durable goods like refrigerators and freezers and things like that. You know, they got a lot of steel and copper and aluminum and different things. Prices are rising. Inflationary jobless claims tick lower to 411K. Okay, that's down quite a bit. The consensus, however, was 380,000. Okay, now I just want to go back here real quickly to last night's workshop. I talked about the genesis of my Best Stocks Now app, which I created for my own use as a money manager to narrow down my search on a daily basis for the areas of the market that are working and keeping me out of the areas of the market that aren't working. I always use a fishing analogy. Those fishing guides on the river, they know areas of the river not even worth trying. Not even worth casting a lure out there. That's not where the fish are at. They're in a different pattern right now. They're working the flats. They're chasing shrimp on the flats or whatever. Okay? They know how to narrow down their search and increase their probabilities of success in the market. And I believe that it increases your probabilities of success in the market by first finding stocks that have good valuations. In fact, my criteria is I need 80% or more upside potential over the next 5 years. I do five-year valuations. That's what you'll find in my beststocksnowapp.com. Okay? That's one way to increase the potential, in my opinion, to find best stocks now. Now, everybody would disagree and argue and have their own way of doing it. This is my way of doing it. Take it or leave it. And I'll tell you about the results it's produced here in a moment. I think you also increase your probabilities buying that which is in favor instead of that which is out of favor. You know, contrarians have just had their clocks cleaned over the last several years. It's been wiser and better performance, I think, buying things that are in favor, things that are flourishing instead of things that are really, really, you know, getting clobbered, falling out of favor, losing their customer base, losing out to competition, etc. So now we've got valuation going for us, and we've got performance, momentum, you know, a stock that's flourishing as opposed to floundering. And I weigh those about equally in my formula. Then the third thing, and then we'll get to the fourth thing, which is an intangible. The third thing would be technical analysis. I don't like to buy something that's in a downtrend. That makes no sense to me. That's what we call in the business a falling knife. Where is that knife going to finally hit the floor, you know? And the floor would be a number one, sideways trend. Okay, that's not exactly the best place to buy a stock either. I think it's better to buy a stock in a sideways trend than in a downtrend, however. And we call that downtrend a number one sideways trend. And then hopefully if something happens, if there's a catalyst, if people start to come in and buy the stock begins a number two upwards trend. In my opinion, the very best place to buy a stock is right at that transition point where a sideways trend, there's a breakout, and hopefully a new upwards trend is underway. There's no guarantees, but I would just say you increase your probabilities of success by buying a stock that's breaking out and starting a new uptrend than buying one that's breaking down and starting a new downtrend, correct? That's my opinion. Okay, then your stock goes in a number two uptrend, and hopefully it goes for a long, long time. We had a five-bagger out of AMD last year. We had three- and four-baggers out of Teladoc and Etsy and Fiverr, etc. But eventually, those upwards trends, number two trends, start to top out, level off, just like an airplane leveling off at 30,000 feet. You never know where your stock will start to level off. We call that consolidation. Maybe there's profit taking. Maybe there's people taking their profits and running and new people coming in. And we call that a number three topping out trend. Keep in mind, however, that a number three topping out trend can re-break to the upside, break out again. I've seen that happen many times. A lot of times stocks will go up in a stair-step type of fashion. But if it starts to roll over and break down, big yellow flag. Now, the tech stock started doing this in mid-February. It was a big yellow flag, and it was a time for me to take a lot of profits out of my solar stocks, out of my electric vehicle stocks, my Chinese stocks. And then they, most of them went into a number four downtrend, okay? So that technical analysis every day, I look at, I told people I look at 1,200, 1,000, 1,500 charts a day. That's just the way it is, okay? I feel like I have a much better feel for the market if I do that on a daily basis. And that last little bit, okay, there's valuation, there's momentum, there's technical analysis. I say that gets you about 80% of the way there. What's the last 20%? Kind of intuition and experience, right? Recognizing trends, seeing favorable patterns, and having looked at thousands of charts over the years. There you go. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the hot sectors in the market and some of the best stocks now. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I showed people last night at the workshop my ranking on Tip Ranks, where they track all of these analysts, 13,000 analysts in one category, and about 8,000 guys like me that write for Seeking Alpha in another category. I'm in the top 4% of all of the people on Seeking Alpha. And when you look at all the professional analysts and whatnot in the industry, I'm in the top 7%. So there must hopefully be something to combining valuations with momentum and looking for strong technical patterns. Then having a little bit of experience and intuition after looking at thousands and thousands of charts over the years of recognizing patterns, that are potent. But I think the key to it is narrowing down your list first to those stocks that meet whatever your criteria are, and then looking at the charts rather than just looking at charts. That gets a little bit, that's kind of a crapshoot, really. I like to get a high-quality list first and then look through the charts. All right, here we go through the sectors of the market, individual stocks, etc. You know, the energy sector continues to do very well. It hasn't done well in quite some time, but there's pressure. There's upwards pressure on oil prices as U.S. crude supplies fall for the fifth straight week. In other words, the demand for oil right now is outstripping the supply, and we continue to have crude inventory draws instead of crude inventory builds. So, yes, I do have some exposure for the first time in a long time in the energy sector. When I wrote my book back in 2013, I had a lot of energy stocks back then in the book because that was one of the best sectors in the market. Well, it's a very good sector again, and some of those stocks that I featured back then in that book are shining again today. In fact, some of the strongest relative strength stocks and a lot of the stocks that meet my valuation and momentum criteria right now come from that oil and gas sector. Another sector to keep an eye on, because there's been some legislation this week, the solar sector, which really tore it up earlier this year and late last year. Well, this cracking down on China of the forced labor against Daco Energy, Jinko Solar, etc., it could really help the U.S. solar makers such as First Solar and others. But there's an even bigger political development there. John Ossoff, who's one of the new senators, of course, he won that big runoff there in Georgia. They let him put his name on a bill. I'm sure he didn't write it, but, you know, that's how politics works. On a bill that will give tax credits, tax breaks to U.S. solar producers making solar panels and whatnot. And that could really heat up a lot of the U.S. Solar stocks. So we'll keep our eye on the solar stocks going forward. They really cooled off. I took my profits. I had some big profits in DQ and in Canadian Solar, CSIQ. But just like any sector, there's leaders and there's laggards. And if that solar sector starts to heat up again, and I think it's going to, we'll be looking at the leading stocks within that sector. They continue to talk about inflation. And when will the next rate hike be? That's another thing I mentioned at the workshop. You can count on that debate every single day. You know, somebody weighing in, somebody chiming in on when the next rate hike will be and when the next, you know, what the next inflation report will be like. And I also emphasized last night, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about earnings. In real estate, it's location, location, location. In the market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. When you're buying a stock, yeah, you're buying the company, a piece of the company, but you're really buying their earnings and their cash flow. You want profitable companies that make money, that don't lose money, or they have expectations of making money real soon. And I am more focused on the earnings estimates for 2023 and 2024 right now than I am on inflation and when will the next rate hike be, etc. And I showed last night the article I wrote in March of 2020 when I said the market has bottomed and this is time to go all in. The new bull market is being born. And I showed the earnings estimates at that time for this year, which was a year off at that time, and for the following year, which was 2 years off at that time. And I showed how the expectations a year out never really fell during the whole beginning of COVID and everything. I mean, the analysts kept looking at all the different scenarios that could play out. They never really did adjust their earnings estimates for a year beyond March of last year. In fact, they were pricing in kind of a one-year event, which it turned out to be. And I was right. I said the S&P got down to 2,600, something like that, 2,900. I said it's going to go back to 3,700 in this year. And I wasn't a very popular opinion. I was definitely an outsider and a contrarian in that regard. I took a lot of body blows and shots and curse words and whatnot. That's okay. But I was right. The Dow did hit 3,700. Then I said its next stop will be 4,200. And that's where it has already hit this year. Well, where is my next stop? You can find that in this week's newsletter. Okay, I will be starting the newsletter today. I will be finishing it up tomorrow. I will check it one last time Saturday and then send it out. But I told people, you know, the Can Slim, another big thing about Can Slim, that last letter is M. That's market. You could be the best stock picker in the world, but if you don't have the market on your side, forget it. You weren't going to pick many winners in 2008, were you? Or in the year 2000. You got to have that market on your side. For me, M also means macro outlook. That's the big picture. That's stepping back from the daily noise and all the little minutiae and details of the market and looking at the big picture. And the big picture revolves around the economy and earnings. And if you don't read anything else in my newsletter, you know, even the just the premier newsletter at $195 a year has my market call every single week. And I'm pretty proud about being right for the last decade plus in my annual market calls that are updated weekly. Because like I say, if you don't have that M, that macro, that market going on your side, your probabilities of finding winners in the market are slim to none. All right, the political thing here today. Janet Yellen urges a debt limit increase. In other words, let's just keep printing money and spending. Why? She uses this reasoning. The IRS needs more money to stop wealthy tax cheats. Okay, that's Janet Yellen. That's our Treasury Secretary. Now, here's another one that's a bit political. The Teamsters are going after Amazon. The Teamsters are going after Amazon. Of course, Amazon, the workers there, unionization a couple of times. They've tried it. They failed. Well, here come the Teamsters, and they're going to try to get those Amazon workers to unionize. Interesting, the weird story of the day. antivirus software pioneer John McAfee. You've heard of McAfee, software, dies by suicide. They were closing in on him. He was in a jail cell in Barcelona. What was his crime? Income tax evasion in the U.S., and he was going to be extradited. At 75 years old, he figured it was better to hang himself, I guess. That's your weird story of the day. He was a very strange guy. I've seen some documentaries on him. He was very stealthy and kind of under the radar in that world of, computer hacking and whatnot. Very strange story. Okay, when we come back, we'll narrow it down a little bit. We'll go from the macro to the micro. Talk about the electric vehicle stocks and then my featured stock of the day. When we come back, this is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. My final day here in Sarasota, where I've had a really great time. We'll be back in October in Sarasota. We're headed to Minnesota next, Minneapolis. We don't have the exact date, probably early August in Minneapolis. If you would like, I will be doing a workshop in Minneapolis, and we'll do the same thing, meeting with folks for several days. We'll more than likely be at that Mall of America. I really like that part in Bloomington there. So if you want to get a hold of Edie early on and reserve a spot for that, get an appointment with us, you can call her at 855-611-BEST. Sometime early August, 855-611-BEST in Bloomington, Minnesota. And we'll be back in Sarasota in early October. All right. Well, one of the sectors that's really heating up all of a sudden is the EV sector. There's a sexy way to play it, but you got to pay sexy prices. And there's a more practical way to play it. Well, here's some of the stocks that were on the move yesterday. Fisker, up 8.8%. And interestingly, we found that Fisker is 20% of it is owned by Magna International, which is a value stock. Okay, there's a cheaper way to play Fisker. Ride was on the move yesterday, up 9%. That stock's been pretty controversial recently. Lordstown Motors is the name of that one. Workhorse Group. Also one that's been pretty controversial. They lost out on their U.S. Postal Service vehicle order from the U.S. government to Oshkosh. And guess where Oshkosh is going to build those postal vehicles? In South Carolina. Yes, South Carolina builds Mercedes-Benz SUVs. We ship them to Germany. We build BMW SUVs. And, of course, all the Volvos, which is actually now a Chinese company owned by Geely Automotive. They'll be all electric. They'll be built in South Carolina, not too far from Somerville, in a new town called Nexton. That's about 45 minutes from us in Charleston and Mount Pleasant. And now you've got Workhorse going to build their postal service vehicles, Oshkosh, in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I think that's where the BMWs are built also. Li Auto had a big day out of China, 7.8%. Blink Charging. Canoe, which is Go EV, up 5.4%. QuantumScape, which is hoping for solid-state electric batteries. Lion had a good day. What's the other one that's been in the news? Was in the news yesterday. It was... Lightning Motor, ZEV, ZEV. So a lot of activity. And I will note, Tesla had a big day yesterday. Tesla has been, You know, I was talking earlier about technical analysis and stocks in number one sideways trends and then a breakout of that. A perfect example, Tesla right now. You can look at Tesla. You can see that sideways trend that it's been in for the last couple of months. And you can see a break above its 50-day moving average yesterday. Okay, and that's got the whole sector excited right now. So like I say, there's the sexy way to play it, buying some of these electric vehicles. Lucid Motors is another one. They're expensive. I mean, you don't know, really, Fisker, you don't know how much of a market share they're going to get, when they'll be profitable, how many orders they'll get. That's a problem with Lordstown and Ride. When you've got all of these suppliers to them, Goldman Sachs today is boosting its rating on Lear Corp. Not Learjet, no. We own Lear Corp too. They make seating systems. Seating systems, that's right, for cars. And they also make electrical seating and electrical systems. Well, seats are a lot different these days. I remember the old bench seat. The only thing was a lever underneath that you could lift up and move it forward or backwards. And maybe tilt down the, you know, the backrest. Boy, now you can adjust it any way. You can tilt it. You can lumbar it. You can heat it. You can cool it. My seats heat or cool in my car. Seating has come a long ways, and Lear Corp is one of those companies that is at the forefront of that out of Southfield, Michigan. Auto country. Let's just take a look and see if it meets my criteria here real fast. Number one, does it meet my valuation criteria? Yes. 100% upside potential over the next 5 years with no guarantees. Potential. PEG ratio under one, meaning it's trading at a discount to its growth rate. In fact, the PEG ratio is 0.55. Price to sales ratio, 1.42. It meets my valuation criteria with flying colors. Now, the momentum's a little weak right now. When I bought it, the stock met the momentum criteria easily. Well, it's starting to heat up again, and the relative strength right now is 70. And I like the chart on Lear. It's starting to beginning a number two pattern right at the beginning, hopefully, that will carry it a long ways. My target price is about 350, stock at 179. It's a $11 billion market cap company, L-E-A, LEA, without the H. We'll make that our featured stock of the day. Boy, I'm excited. You know, I've learned a lot working with the Southport office here in Sarasota. What a great staff that is there over in the Sarasota. It's in the Lakewood Ranch office where, you know, you're away from all that downtown traffic and one-way streets and all this and that. It's in a very nice location, very nice office building. It's in the John Cannon Home Builder building, and it's got they've got a standalone office there with a very experienced staff. And I've been there all week, and, you know, it's just nice to have, besides my Gunderson portfolios, to be able to offer now, you know, hedging strategies and private equity and all kinds of different things. So we can do a complete asset allocation and financial planning for you to have access to Goldman Sachs products, Goldman Sachs research. You can be custodian at Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's a big step up for Gunderson Capital Management. Very, very happy with the move we made. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with us, start with the newsletter. Go to GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. All right? Take care, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.